This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
This is the Casey Smith Show.
So let's hear it one more time. Together. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go.
Here's your host, Casey Smith. Are you smiling
by my table? Call me Julio Jones today because I'm playing hurt.
Oh,
I've been waiting for that, all morning. I woke up and realized that I'm losing my voice again, and I was like,
it's the probably fifth time that's happened.
It's more than that. My voice is the most finicky voice. That's a great
word.
Yeah,
but don't a lot of guys like when a girl loses their voice? It's like raspier.
That's what I tell myself.
So
that's what I tell myself.
It's working in your favor.
It's better than the alternative, I guess. It's working in my favor. Welcome into the Casey Smith Show live on a Monday, January 23rd. I can't believe this month is almost over.
It's flying by.
It's crazy.
I'm going to be so sad. All our football is going to be over soon.
A couple weeks.
And I got to switch over to NBA, which...
We're going to talk a lot about the NBA today.
We'll get to touch in with Alex on that, but I'm bad about it. I watch during the playoffs, and even then, it's like the fourth quarter, and that's it.
One football game left of the 2016/2017 season, which is really not. They're played in 2017. I hate that, by the way.
I do, too. I'm like, can we just make it the cutoff?
I know. Can we just... It's just the NBA seasons and the Major League Baseball seasons, they always bridge, but these technically do bridge, but it's the 2016 season.
Right, but it's...
Yeah, it's whatever. It's football. I don't care. I can't complain. As always, joined by Annie Kuntz in Hour 1 on SB Nation Radio, live nationally every single Monday from 8 to 10 Eastern. Then, of course, we have the added social media bonus on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, GridironNow.com, and, of course, iTunes. So however you're listening, watching, podcasting, whatever verb we can come up with.
There's a lot of different ways to catch us.
That's good, though.
It is. That's we appreciate it always.
The year of 2017, you've already seen an NFL player get in trouble on Facebook Live. What kind of get in trouble? Do dumb things.
We'll see. I feel like he might be punished now that they're done.
But the fact that you can do a radio show first and have cameras, I feel like it's a good time to be alive.
Always. We always live with all the facets of social media, good and bad. It gives us a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. And of course, the internet always losing its mind. Anytime the Patriots are doing something good. And they did that yesterday. We're going to be joined later on by Courtney Cox of NESN, which is the huge Boston outlet. She's a host and reporter. She covers the Patriots. She'll join us to talk about the vibe up there in New England.
Yeah.
Obviously, at the beginning of this football season, we talk about how the NFL season's almost over. The Patriots were the big storyline because Tom Brady was suspended 4 games. Now we're looking at a situation where Roger Goodell might have to hand them the Lombardi Trophy.
And I'm going to get my popcorn ready for that because that is what I want to see.
It's going to be unreal if that actually happens.
Explode.
And isn't it always good? Yeah, I was about to say, isn't it a really good reason? Like, this is what Roger Goodell did not want. He hasn't said that, but he hadn't been to a game in 2 years. Did you see yesterday? I know we watched the game together. Could you hear the chants, the "Where's Roger"? I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear that, huh?
But I saw the signs, and then I went back and listened, and it's very faint. You can hear, "Where is Roger?" in the Boston accent.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
so much drama
festering around that scenario.
We're going to look at the two games that we thought were going to be really good football games. Ended up not being... Look back, and then, of course, looking forward to Super Bowl 51. Two great quarterbacks. And then later on the show, when Alex Parker, our brunette, comes in, we'll talk
our beautiful
Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, Johnny Manziel back in the headlines, but seemingly for positive reasons.
Yeah, hopefully. All over Snapchat. I still follow him on Snapchat, mainly for entertainment purposes. But I'm hoping that everything that he's preaching, he means this time.
New year, new him, maybe.
Hopefully. We'll see.
We'll see.
Time will tell.
I hope so.
I do, too.
So if you're
really
watching us on social media, we want to hear from you guys. And our producer, Carly, which I will refuse to give her last name out because you creepers out there in radio land, she'll be joining me at the end of the show to... talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. Get questions. So whatever you want to weigh in on.
There's a lot to talk about.
As an Aggie fan, as an NFL fan, or if you don't like the Aggies or Johnny Manziel, is this Johnny Manziel's true turnaround? If you've seen him on Instagram, you see that he's saying it's a new year. He's going to be sober. He's going to go work out with George Whitfield, who prepared him to win the Heisman. Mm-hmm. Do you buy it?
I want to really bad. I really hope that he does. I hope that he's turning the corner and getting his life back together. Because we've seen Johnny in the past, and I saw him recently last year. And it's just the biggest waste of talent that you'd hate to see. So I really hope that he's turning the corner and making a turn for the best.
Well, if you're watching us on social media, weigh in. Do you buy Johnny Manziel's turnaround? If you follow him on Snapchat, you're always entertained.
Always.
And he happened to be at the Patriots game.
Repping a Tom Brady jersey.
Mm-hmm. Well, who doesn't want to rep a Tom Brady jersey? Except for Roger Goodell, right, at this point. Before we get into those games, another piece of information about the Super Bowl did come out. You know, everybody makes a big deal about the halftime performances. Lady Gaga is that. And I know earlier in the year, they talked about how Adele turned it down.
Mm-hmm. Well, for halftime?
Yes, mm-hmm. Which I love Adele, right?
Yeah, but, and I went to her concert earlier this year, and she's incredible. She's so talented.
She's not Super Bowl halftime show.
Well, here's I have two things. First of all, I mean, it's not the show that you're going to say, wow, that was the most entertaining, so much going on. I mean, it's her on a stage with incredible vocals, so it's not going to be very exciting halftime show. Second of all, Adele is kind of the music you want to listen to when you're going through a breakup, like you're really
drinking wine.
You're like, it's like really depressing music. So I would hate for that to be in the middle of a Super Bowl.
Well, and the whole thing with the Super Bowl halftime show is it's really short. I mean, Obviously it's halftime, But it's all the lights and like the
production and the
choreography and the dancers and the costumes. And you're like, well, Adele doesn't.
What is Adele?
And she said that. She was like, this is not. But then they went out and get Lady Gaga, who is that.
Right.
But yesterday it was announced, or a couple days ago, my days are running together, that Luke Bryan, Nashville country music superstar, will be singing the national anthem. And I have to be completely honest with you. Like, I love football, obviously. That's what I do for a living. But I also love the Super Bowl for the performances and the commercials and kind of the whole hoopla,
The whole production.
I saw that he's singing the national anthem, and I was like, what the hell? Like, no disrespect to Luke Bryan. I mean, he's obviously an incredible performer. His songs are catchy as hell. Always. He's good looking, but the national anthem, I'm just not in. I can we not bring the saxophone player back from the Falcons games? That guy's good.
He's really good. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a letdown. Luke Bryan, like you said, you want someone that is going to be super impressive and give you an incredible performance, kind of like Adele. I mean, they should have done Adele for the national anthem before the game.
Who didn't think of
that? Way better at that. But I saw Luke Bryan, though. Fun fact, I saw him at spring break, and he was pretty entertaining.
And I bet he's great for spring break. I mean,
was a party. It was Panama City Beach, and I mean, for what I remember, I had a great time.
I just, again, no disrespect to him, but live, I can't imagine
from what I remember, it wasn't like, wow, his vocals are impressive.
He's a good performer, right?
Yeah, like very much so.
That's the whole thing. But the national anthem is all about vocals to me. It's about kind of, obviously, you're getting to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
The national anthem is like everyone tries to outdo every year. You know, that's who can outdo the last person and have this breakthrough performance. I don't think that's going to be Luke Bryan.
Well, and they always have the prop bet of like how long it's going to be. And I'm not a fan of this decision. And maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I want to see somebody and hear somebody that can really actually sing. Yeah. And I'm not real sure that Luke Bryan can actually really sing in comparison to the talent pool they could have gotten. Mm-hmm. He sings way better than I do. No, again, no disrespect, but I just didn't like that very much.
We're pretty tone deaf, apparently, according to your roommates.
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends. I mean, what are we singing to? Have we had anything to drink? It's really all subjective. It depends. But no, I love the Super Bowl for so many different reasons. But of course, this year.
Would you prefer Justin Bieber?
Yes. And not just because I like Justin Bieber. He is a better singer than Luke Bryan. Mm-hmm. They should have gotten Adele. You're right. Or have Lady Gaga do it again.
Yeah.
Have somebody that can actually sing or get the saxophone player. Like I said, that's my favorite national anthem I've ever heard is the Falcons game.
So different.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. That's what it should be about. It's a national anthem. Yeah. And with all the attention on the national anthem this year, with everything that we've had to deal with in the NFL, they got Luke Bryan. Come on. Just know.
Come on, people. Get it together.
But of course, the Super Bowl this year is a little bit more exciting than we've seen the last few years because we actually have a really good quarterback matchup on both sides.
A lot of storylines around it.
A lot of storylines, of course. You know, we knew that Matt Ryan was in the conversation for the regular season MVP. No doubt in my mind that he should win that at this point. Obviously, Tom Brady can rival that. But he was out for four games, and we'll talk about Deflategate in a little bit because Roger Goodell's losing his mind somewhere. But of course, Atlanta beating Green Bay handily, and then the Patriots beating the Steelers handily as well.
Gosh, poop emoji games.
It was bad.
All over my Twitter.
That's your national radio censor coming through right there. That's what that is. But Annie, when you look at these games yesterday, and of course, we wanted to see them closer. We thought that they would be closer. We were 1-1. We took Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Obviously, that didn't happen, but we did take the Patriots. But if you look at the NFL playoffs now as a whole, there's really only been one good game. Now, there's been a little bit of drama. There's been some closer games. Mm-hmm. But the only really good football game that we've seen is the instant classic of the Packers Cowboys a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And then, yeah, you know, the Chiefs Steelers, like it was close, but it wasn't a good game.
And I was so pissed about the Cowboys game, I didn't even want anything to do with that game.
You don't necessarily want it to be good if they were going to lose, right? But now in the Super Bowl, you actually have a very intriguing matchup offensively, obviously. You've got Tom Brady and you've got Matt Ryan, and their storylines are so different. Mm-hmm. And when you watched those games yesterday, you really got the sense that these guys deserve to be there. They were the best two quarterbacks in 2016 from start to finish, even though Tom Brady was out for four games. Maybe Derek Carr could have been there if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, that but Matt been
Ryan, yeah, Matt Ryan has been that guy all season. And you saw it yesterday in that game. And even though Aaron Rodgers has been the storyline, there was a moment in that game where you're just like, the Falcons are going to win this. This is their year to make it to the Super Bowl. And it was a lot of fun to watch, even though it was a blowout.
Well, and it's interesting because the Falcons have just kind of floated under that radar all year, even though they've been so consistently good with incredibly, incredibly high offensive numbers. But they floated under that radar because the storylines with the Cowboys and the Packers turning around their season and Aaron Rodgers, like extremely hot streak that he was on. They've just kind of floated under that radar. So for the Falcons to come out and look as good as they did yesterday was super impressive. Matt Ryan just continues to make up case for becoming MVP. I think for sure he should be able to get that. But they just looked incredible yesterday. And for me, I was looking forward to that Cowboys Patriots Super Bowl. And then if I wasn't going to get that, I was going to want the Packers. But now looking at the Falcons yesterday, I think it's going to be a really good matchup, especially with all those storylines floating between the two quarterback situations on both teams.
We're going to look at both of those games and more what this means moving forward. This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Monday. I made the horrible joke earlier about being Julio Jones and playing hurt. Ignore my raspy voice today. We're going to make it through. Joined, as always, by Annie Kuntz on SB Nation Radio nationally. And of course, the added bonus of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, and GridironNow.com. If you are watching us, we want to hear from you. We talked a little bit about Johnny Manziel. We'll talk about that throughout the show. Do you buy this comeback? Is this the time he gets his life together?
We hope so.
We hope so, absolutely. And we'll talk about that throughout the show, of course. Reason he's back in the headlines is because he was at the Patriots game last night. He was wearing a Tom Brady jersey.
He's been all over Twitter and Instagram now.
Absolutely. He's Snapchat. Has got it back. And then we talked about Luke Bryan. I can't even talk about it. But Annie, when you look at those games yesterday, and you know, we talk about how Matt Ryan kind of flown under the radar, and that's kind of silly to say because we've been talking about him all year. Everybody has. But he's not been that really sexy storyline. And yesterday in that game, and of course, there's a lot of time in that game where you're like, okay, this is going to be a blowout. Then it looked like maybe the Packers would keep it close. Mm-hmm. A lot of unfortunate calls for them, you know, bad decisions that were made. But the moment for me in that game when I realized, like, this is Matt Ryan is not only for real, the Falcons are for real, this team is a force to be reckoned with, is when he scored on the ground from 15 yards out and he became that dual threat quarterback that we talk about in college. Like, he can score with his legs from 15 yards. And I step back and I'm like, oh my God, this guy is not only really, really good, he can do both of these things. The Packers had no shot in my mind. And that was the moment for me where I'm like, okay, it's going to be a Falcons-Patriots Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I was just completely shocked at the way that, especially that first half went. I mean, for them to be up 24-0 at halftime, that was the biggest first half deficit of Rodgers' career. And then for them, when the Falcons up were just 10-0, I mean, that was the biggest deficit that the Packers had in the last nine games. So I was
during their hot streak.
During
everybody
hot streak.
Was talking about Aaron Rodgers and how crazy he was playing. You never saw something
exactly
like that.
So to look at that and just see how incredible the Falcons were, and I think for me when I saw Crosby miss that field goal, miss the 40 yarder after he had made like 23 in a row, I think NFL leading, they were just off all over the place offensively across the board, and it just didn't look like the team we saw against the Cowboys. Aaron Rodgers was put under a ton of pressure, which we talked about last week was the thing that got them in the lead so early against the Cowboys is the amount of time that he had in the pockets. So that was completely different in this game. And that I just didn't expect it at all.
The Falcons got so much pressure on him. In fact, they pressured him on 42% of his dropbacks. And that's huge for Aaron Rodgers because, yes, he's very comfortable outside the pocket. There's no question. He is one of the best at improvising plays. Mm-hmm. But when his offensive line could give him time in the pocket like they did against Dallas early in the game, that's where he's so comfortable. And yes, he can make these plays like we saw against the Cowboys and you've seen throughout his career where he is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But for the Falcons pass and rush defense to step up the way they did, because that was another storyline, was what Falcons defense is going to show up.
And that's what we talked about prior to the game is that was they were going to have to do that to be successful against this team.
We assumed that whoever had the ball last was who was going to end up winning this game, but the Falcons defense stepped up, got pressure on Aaron Rodgers, and then on the flip side, you've got Matt Ryan playing at an incredible productive rate. I mean, he looked so good, and that was what buried the Packers. But Aaron Rodgers didn't do what we've seen him do, whether that's all his fault or not, I don't think that it is. But this Falcons team was just so much more complete. They played more complete. They had everything going for them in the right way early, and they didn't lose that lead because they continued to play at the level they needed to and ended up beating them by 20-plus points.
And I mean, Green Bay had a lot of injuries. They made, but I think it just comes down to them making a lot of mistakes, and they had to they had to make the most of the opportunities they were going to get offensively, and they didn't. And they were going to have to do that going into this game because we knew it was going to be a shootout. We knew it was going to be an offensive-heavy game, and they just really just didn't bring it.
No, they didn't. And Matt Ryan obviously has a lot to do with it, but again, all the weapons they have too, and we talk about Julio Jones and just he was the MVP of yesterday.
First player in NFL history to post multiple 150 yard two touchdown games in the postseason.
He is so good, and he's not even 100% healthy. You know, we talked about that on Friday when we, or Thursday when we broke down the games. Like, he has the hurt toe, and I mean, yeah, you say toe, and you're like, but like that's
that's something. I've had toe issues. I've had blister issues. I mean, it really does play a factor. It's tough.
Yeah, especially when you play the position that he plays.
Exactly.
But in two playoff wins now, he's got 15 catches, 247 yards, three touchdowns, an incredible target for the Falcons.
And so athletic.
So athletic. And you look at now moving forward, what can this do for Matt Ryan? And, you know, he's got an established name without a Super Bowl win. And ESPN put out a really interesting stat. They said in his career, he's defeated 30 of the 32 NFL teams, and the Patriots being one of the last two he's not beat.
Right.
And he was the number one in total QBR this year, number one in passer rating. He's got 9.26 yards per attempt. The best quarterback on paper all season, doesn't have that win yet. And then on the flip side, you've got Tom Brady, who's now looking to set a league record for Super Bowl wins by a quarterback.
It's clear that the two best quarterbacks of the year are going to be playing in this Super Bowl. And it's I like that these two teams haven't played each other since 2013. I think that's going to add to the drama. But just the storyline surrounding Matt Ryan and bringing the Falcons to hopefully their first Super Bowl win. Last time they were in a Super Bowl, they lost to the Broncos. Fun fact. But
I know you like that.
Oh, yeah, I do like that.
Being from Denver and everything.
But now, I mean, I like this story. They're the underdogs, I think, going into this game, and I think it's going to provide a really good matchup.
Which a lot of people are talking about, the fact that they are, in Vegas terms, by Vegas odds, they opened up at a 3-point underdog, and people are like, how is this possible? And we're going to talk to Aaron Torres of Fox Sports later on in the show about this, is should they be a, quote, underdog against the Patriots after what we've seen them been able to do? It all comes down to how you view the Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And, you know, we talk about the moment in the NFC game, and like we mentioned multiple different reasons. For me, it was seeing Matt Ryan's ability to be a dual threat quarterback for a second. But the moment for me in the Patriots game was not just one necessarily key play or key moment. It was the fact that everybody talks about how, well, when Gronk went out, it was, what's Tom Brady going to be able to do? Obviously, he's very comfortable with Julian Edelman, and that's been his go-to. But for me, it was realizing that he found Chris Hogan. Not only did he find him, he found him a lot.
Hogan had 100. Extremely impressive in that game.
And that was key for me because the Patriots are showing now that they don't have to have these superstar guys and these superstar names. The guy played lacrosse in college, and you know we're going to hear about that. Like, take a drink every time you hear that.
I love over here dual sport athletes. So I eat that up.
take a drink every time that's brought up, right? But he had 180 yards, two touchdowns. He was wide open throughout the entire game, and they could not stop this guy. And that moment to me was like, the Patriots, yes, they have the best coach in the NFL. Yes, they have the greatest player of all time at quarterback, but they find these guys that fly under the radar, and they have so much to bring to the table. Look at all that's been stacked up against the Patriots this year. They're still going for history. Tom Brady's going for history. And that storyline is interesting because everybody's kind of put them multiple times in the season, like, have all these excuses.
I mean, their season, they went through the ringer this season when you look at it, but really they weren't. It wasn't as hard as you would have thought that their season
would have
been.
It should have been. Right. It should have been. And you look at everything that's stacked up against them. You look at Brady being suspended for four games, them having to go to their third string quarterback, Gronk being out, trading two of their best defensive players, Roger Goodell hating them. I mean, you get all of this.
The list goes on and on.
And they're back. And now Tom Brady, who's right now tied with Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw with the most Super Bowl wins, is going for that next one. And then again, it's so much fun to see because Matt Ryan is not some slouch quarterback. They're like, ah, like Tom. Like, you can make an argument that this year Matt Ryan has played better than Tom Brady,
right?
But has a completely different storyline.
Because Brady was out at the beginning. But Brady just continues to be the GOAT. I mean, it just continues to happen. He's the all-time leader in every major passing category in the playoffs and reached 60 career postseason touchdowns this Sunday. And he'll be able to continue that impressive resume in a couple weeks. But that's why I love this storyline going into the Super Bowl, because these are just two star-studded quarterbacks that are going to I love how we say they get to duel and go at each other.
They're not actually playing each other.
They don't actually get to, but it'll be kind of a fight of the quarterbacks and to see who's going to bring their team to this one.
Well, and the NFL is about quarterbacks. We know that. Right. College football is a lot of time about the head coach and the talent
development.
Which is why
the Patriots are so impressive, because they were able to continue to win with their second and third string quarterbacks. I mean, that's unheard of in the NFL.
And we talk about the pressure that was on Aaron Rodgers during their game. The Steelers couldn't get anywhere near Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to slow down the Patriots and you're going to even try to stop them, you've got to put pressure on Tom Brady. And they couldn't do that. And that opened up a situation for these guys like Chris Hogan, like Julian Edelman, like these, you know, LeGarrette Blount's been a big guy all year that's been able to have this very productive season. Because if you can't get pressure on Tom Brady with all these weapons that he's got around him.
Do you want my random stat?
Yeah, I'd love a random fact.
In 7 career meetings against the Mike Tomlin-led Steelers, Brady has now thrown 22 touchdowns without one single interception. Random fact of the day.
Random fact of the day.
Tomlin, get it together. He does not know how to defend Tom Brady.
And of course, Antonio Brown and all that craziness. It's like, was that really a distraction? I don't think. And we said this. I don't think it was a distraction at all.
The Steelers had a lot not going in their favor. I mean, with the flu surrounding all their players and then losing Bell early with a groin injury, it just wasn't working in their favor.
As soon as he was out, it was like, all right, what are we going to do here? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But of course, very interesting storylines. And we'll be talking about that all week. Of course, leading up to the Super Bowl, we'll have Courtney Cox of Nesson on in just a second to get the vibe. What's going on in New England? How does that feel?
I'd love to know what the environment's going on.
Well, we're
going to
find out in just a second.
We can't wait.
This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Monday, January the 23rd with Annie Kuntz on SB Nation Radio nationally every Monday night. And of course, social media, Twitter, Periscope, Facebook, Gridiron Now, and iTunes. So catch us however you can. We're going to jump out to the hotline to Nesson host and reporter Courtney Cox. She is everywhere right now. Mm-hmm. She's blown up, really. And I've been friends with her on social media, so that's what counts. Courtney, how is the vibe up there right now after that Patriots win?
Ladies, like you said you were playing hurt. I'm playing very hurt this morning. It was a crazy, crazy night. I'm sure you guys were able to get that feel from watching on TV, but being there, I saw you guys talking about the Roger chant. We had a few of those throughout the night. Pretty early on, we had just Roger, then we turned into Where is Roger? And then Scott Zolak, who does radio play-by-play, he's a color analyst for the radio up here. He's pretty well known. Everybody knows who he is in Boston. They kind of cut to him up in the booth, and he had a sign that he pulled out of nowhere, and it said, "Where's Roger?" And obviously, Jumbotron cut away pretty quickly. But it was just a crazy atmosphere. Gillette's not the biggest stadium in the world. It's not the loudest. But it was rocking last night, that's for sure.
Talking to Courtney Cox of Nesson about the vibe last night with the Patriots' big win. And Courtney, you mentioned Roger Goodell. And obviously, people that aren't in that area still are paying attention to the fact that he could end up having to hand the Lombardi Trophy to Tom Brady and to Bill Belichick. Throughout the season, even when Tom wasn't playing, was there a sense in New England and in Boston that it didn't matter, that this team was still good enough to make it to the Super Bowl no matter what Goodell threw at him?
I think we had that feel. I mean, you can look at social media and you can look at the big websites around, you know, Nesson has a big one, but then you look at like Barstool Sports, who started in Boston, and they have the whole defend the wall, and people into that. And I think fans, no matter what was thrown at them, they were at the games, whether it was snowing, raining, sleeting, you could feel that there was something really special about this season pretty early on. And obviously with Brady being out for the first 4 games, when he returned, there was an electricity about him. And, you know, to see him not only in the locker room, but in his press conferences, he was fired up last night. And they asked him obviously about Roger Goodell not being there and looking forward to the Super Bowl. And he stays pretty mum about the whole situation. He says, you know, I gotta win the game before that even happens, type of feel. He says he didn't hear the Roger chants. Julian Edelman also said he didn't hear them. A few other players. So that part was funny because I don't know if you want to call it selective hearing, but it was pretty loud. So, and they all heard the Bon Jovi Living on a Prayer. The whole stadium was singing that because Bon Jovi obviously was in attendance. And he was sitting up in a box with Gronk, which was pretty funny. But they could hear that. So they could obviously hear the Roger chant, but they don't want to talk about it. I think they're really focused on the game and they don't want that distraction, to overshadow the great season that they've had and moving forward.
Well, and you talk about the Patriots being mum, and of course they kind of keep quiet and they're never in the headlines for all those negative reasons outside of Deflategate. What impresses you the most from being around them in the locker room, in these press conferences, that maybe people on the outside wouldn't know about this team because they do stay so quiet?
I think it's probably their work ethic, and obviously you can tell that from the unbelievable seasons that they've had. I mean, you look at Chris Hogan last night. He was incredible. No one was stopping him. It seemed like he was wide open the entire night. The Steelers just couldn't defend him. When you're in a locker room with him and people are asking questions, he's so focused. He doesn't crack a smile too often in the locker room. The scrum around him, obviously a ton of reporters in the locker room last night. It was hard to even get close to him. And usually it's that way for the big players for, you know, 5, maybe 10 minutes. But this was for an extended period of time. So he's somebody who's very focused, but you could tell last night he was pretty pumped up. And they're all focused, you know, now we can't celebrate for too long. We're on to Atlanta. But there was a different feeling in the locker room. Martellus Bennett is exactly who you see on social media in the locker room. He is funny. He is cheery. He's, you know, talking to people around him. No one really has an ego. And I think that's another great thing about this team. When you're in there, no, you don't feel like, you know, they're looking down on you or they think that they're above anybody. They're really, really nice guys. And I don't know if it's Bill Belichick who really coaches them up to be that way around media, but they're a great team to follow and to be around. And I'm from this area, so growing up being a Patriots fan kind of adds a little bit to it. I get texts from my dad and mom every day I'm at Gillette that's like, Courtney, did you see this person? Did you talk to this person? How cool is this? So sometimes this job, and I'm sure you two can agree, kind of desensitizes you from the sports world and being around athletes and coaches and that atmosphere. But last night I kind of took a second to look around and be like, this is really cool.
I can only imagine. And I'm from Dallas and I'm a Cowboys fan. So I don't get to enjoy it as much as you do right now, but I definitely know that feeling throughout the season when they were having success, having that kind of different side of things, of perspective. But you mentioned Martellus Bennett. Annie and I are both from Texas A&M. He obviously went to Texas A&M. He's always been that crazy. But he said something yesterday that was interesting. He said, you know, nobody cares who gets the ball. We just do what we're told. We just want to win. Is that all credit due to Bill Belichick, Courtney? Is that something that he's just created around this franchise, that they are really selfless and they just want to win this game?
Yeah, I think that does hold true. I think this past week, a lot of people were talking about the Houston game, and obviously we had 3 Rutgers guys on the roster that each got an interception, and they were playing off each other saying, you know, I saw this guy get it. We went to the same college, so I had to get one. And then the third guy, you know, then I had to get one. So there is a little bit of, I think, you know, making each other better players. But they also really play for each other. And I think that was really known after when Brady was handed the trophy last night. He said, you know, this isn't just for me. I did it for all these guys. They really do play for each other and they respect each other. And you can tell that, you know, his receivers really want to get the ball for him. And he really wants to make his receivers look good. And they want to do it for the Kraft and for Belichick. So it is a family atmosphere. I don't know if you guys saw his Instagram post that he posted today, but he quoted The Hangover, the Wolfpack whole thing, and he talks about Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett. And I think that's cool. I mean, think about Jacoby Brissett coming from NC State, a rookie season going with the Patriots, and you've got probably one of the best quarterbacks to ever live being the starter, and then Jimmy Garoppolo plays for a little bit, and then you get thrown in there. So that's a cool aspect as well, that they had 3 quarterbacks that have had to play the season and really played well, did great for not only their team, but I think they were playing for Brady as well.
talking to Courtney Cox of NESN. She's from Boston. She covers Boston sports, obviously has a very good insight up there. Courtney, how crazy is this fan base for the Patriots? And we all hear about how crazy Boston is in all sports, but when you look at this fan base in the NFL, what is it like to cover this team?
It's a crazy fan base. I mean, the fans sometimes almost too crazy. I'm sure all the reports you guys heard about a fan pulling a fire alarm in the Steelers hotel. I mean, that's, people are so passionate about it. And it's kind of crazy because Boston's known as kind of obviously a sports town. So it's not like the NFL is all we have. You know, you hear of a lot of cities that say, this is all we've got. So if you are, you know, such and such fan, you are a diehard fan. It's like you could be a Red Sox, Celtics, Patriots, and Bruins fan, and you're a diehard fan for all of them. But with Patriots, I think maybe with this suspension came even more passion and, you know, wanting to see them do so well. But it's a crazy atmosphere, and Tom Brady, when he takes the field, he comes out to the Jay-Z song, the Allow Me to Reintroduce Myself. And that, when he comes out, this place is like nothing you ever see. It really is crazy. And I lived in Charlotte for a bit, so I got to go to some Panthers games and see that. That's a great fan base as well. But there is a different feel in Boston. I have to say that. And maybe I am biased because I'm from here, but I think if you ask a lot of people that visit Gillette, fans are pretty crazy and pretty ruthless.
I don't doubt it at all. I know we'll see a bunch of them in Houston coming up for the Super Bowl. Will we get to see you, Courtney? Are you going to make the trip down here?
I am not. I will be going to the draft. So there are some people. You will see a NESN crew down there, but unfortunately I'm not making the trip this year, hopefully next year. But Houston's going to be a crazy one. And I went to BC, so the big storyline around here is, you know, if you're a BC fan and you're a Patriots fan, you got Matt Ryan, quarterback for the Falcons. Like, who do you root for? So that's another funny storyline kind of being spread around over here.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us today. We'll catch up with you soon. I'm sure if the Patriots get a win, we'll have to have you back on. Mm-hmm. Great work this season. We've loved watching it.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Have fun.
Courtney Cox, host and reporter of NESN from Boston. I can't even imagine how that feels getting to cover it. And you get to cover Bill Belichick.
She had a lot of good points, too, about this team. And I think talking about them not having egos and them just wanting to win for each other and playing for Brady, I think that's so rare in the NFL. And that's why the NFL is such a business and you don't see that very often. I think that's why they're so successful.
They're a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Some people, you either love to watch them or you hate to watch them. But either way, you're watching them. There's no question. This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Monday, wrapping up hour number one with Annie Kuntz on SB Nation Radio nationally on gridironnow.com and the added social media bonus on Twitter. Yeah, we love it. Mm-hmm. Why not? You get to watch us. And not in a creepy way. I don't mean it as creepy. But if you are watching on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, or Periscope, we want to hear from you guys. Is Tom Brady the greatest of all time? Mm-hmm. I think so. But did he even more solidify that? Of course, talking a little bit of Johnny Manziel earlier in the show, is this really his comeback? Do you believe it this time? And we talked to Courtney Cox.
Can he make a comeback?
And can he? And how hard that's going to be. And, you know, you mentioned people playing for Tom Brady, and Courtney Cox of NESN, who just joined us, said that as well, is people have a different feeling around Tom Brady. You mm-hmm. see Johnny Manziel last night wearing a Tom Brady jersey. People either love him or hate him, but he is different because of the way he handles himself. Yeah. He's a superstar name. He's got a smoke show superstar wife.
I think he's classy.
Very classy. And the worst thing that you can say about Tom Brady at this point is he may have deflated some footballs. People say he's a cheater. Bill Belichick's a cheater. But you don't see him in the headlines for being crazy. You even see Gronk in the headlines for like partying in Vegas. But when it comes down to this football team, they do everything that they can. But of course, the internet wants to blow it up. Mm-hmm. And I know our producer Ron has this ready for us in just a second. But he does an interview with Tracy Wolfson after the game. And he's talking about how wonderful his family is and thanking his family. And of course, the storyline has been about Aaron Rodgers not having his family around. And he gives this like pretty great comment about his family, answers Tracy's questions about the game itself. And the internet says, oh no, Tom Brady was throwing shade at Aaron Rodgers. If you guys didn't get a chance to listen to it, here it is.
Congratulations, Tom. A career postseason high for you, 384 yards, 3 touchdowns. But what can you say about your offensive line and just how your wide receivers were able to get so open, especially Chris Hogan.
They played great. At first, I want to say hi to my beautiful mom at home and my dad. I love you so much. I love you. My sisters, I love you too. My beautiful wife's here, so, and my kids. What was your question?
I could just see how emotional you are right now, and you told us you gave it your all last year and fell short. To be able to have the opportunity to get back to the Super Bowl, what does that mean?
It's incredible. This team showed a lot of mental toughness over the course of the year, and it was a great win tonight. Our fans are going crazy, so I'm just happy for our team. We put a lot into it, and I know we're going to play a great team in a couple weeks, but it'd be great to finish it off.
Congratulations and good luck. Thanks so much.
Just the utmost class. I mean, really, really. And Matt Ryan's the same way for the Falcons. You see these guys that are
makes
great with the media.
Friends.
They are, and they text each other. It's like the bromances in the NFL are so cute. Like Tom Brady came out and said they text regularly. They keep up with each other. And of course, Bill Belichick in all of his glory said, well, I didn't even know who won the NFC game. I had no idea. But Tom Brady comes out and is like, I watched the first quarter. He was on fire. And Tom Brady is just that guy, whether you love him or hate him, he's always saying the right things. Mm-hmm. Whether that's the Patriots way as a whole or not, Tom Brady is always saying the right things, but he had a career high for a playoff game. He's 39 years old. He's chasing history to get 5 Super Bowl wins, which he would surpass, like we mentioned, Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw. But the thing is, Annie's, he's throwing the ball better than he ever has before. Mm-hmm. He's more efficient. He's played maybe one of the best seasons he's had as a professional quarterback in the NFL, and he's 39. And he's saying all the right things. And the only mark you can put on him is the guy maybe deflated some footballs.
I
don't care about that. Maybe like I said, maybe I'm wrong. I don't care about that at all.
Yeah, no, I think it's so silly that people are trying to say that he was throwing shade. I mean, that's so beneath Brady. And Brady, to me, is just such a straight-laced guy. I mean, he does all the right things, his nutrition, his sleeping. He does all the right things to set himself up for success. And we've seen that clearly this year. I mean, he said earlier this year that he feels better than he felt when he was 29, at 39. And I have a lot of respect for Brady, and I don't think that was anything near shade being thrown at Aaron Rodgers. But I love how Twitter turned it into that.
They also, did you see the jacket that he had on that looked like it was super overinflated? Yep. Like the internet just needs to make fun of Tom Brady. But in reality, what we're watching him do right now is chase history, solidify himself as one of the greatest of all times, if not the GOAT. He's only lost to one quarterback in the Super Bowl ever, and that's Eli Manning. A Manning, you know, at any point, like what his success has been so good. And now he's chasing that, and he's almost 40. Mm-hmm. And the way he's playing right now, like, okay, he might get that next win. He's not done. This is not a Peyton Manning situation where you're like, okay, like it's time.
He needs to hang it up, right?
This guy is playing at the best of his career right now. Mm-hmm. He feels, I mean, he's got the personal chefs, you're sure. I mean, he's got a supermodel wife, arguably the most famous model.
Quite the fit little couple they got.
You know, they're great. But that's why this Super Bowl is going to be so much fun for me personally, and everybody's got their own reasons, but I really like the Patriots. I'm a Cowboys fan, first and foremost, being from Dallas, but I like what the Patriots have done, and mm-hmm. people say, yeah, they're cheaters, and we're going to talk to Aaron Torres of Fox Sports later in the show.
He's got some strong words
about
it.
He's from that area, and he hates the Patriots, but I like watching the Patriots, but I also have so much respect for the Falcons and what Matt Ryan has been able to do. This game is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I can't wait to watch this game. And I mean, I kind of jumped on the Patriots train this year. I think that I really like the storyline with Brady and Deflategate and Goodell. And I think it's going to be incredible if he has to hand that trophy over to Brady. But like you said, I really like this team and the culture around it. Just how they are such a tight unit. And Courtney mentioned it being like a family. And all the teams that I've been on in my previous past, the ones that you have that chemistry and you're playing for each other and you are unselfish, those are the teams that have success, and that's why I appreciate the Patriots like I do.
And they're not the attention-seeking team. You know, if you look in the NBA, it's
looking
kind of
up
like,
how high can I get my numbers and how can I make myself look better?
Right, and if you look at the NBA, it's kind of like the Greg Popovich, the Spurs type of thing. I mean, yeah, like some of the guys will have these storylines, like when Tony Parker cheated on Eva Longoria, but I won't go there. That's bitter. I love my girl Eva. But the Patriots have that same thing where they don't talk a lot. You have no idea what a lot
they
of their
personalities. They keep it in-house.
Yes. Like Martellus Bennett, we know his personality because he's crazy, mm-hmm. and he played at A&M, so we get that. But outside of guys like him or Gronk, like you don't know a whole bunch about these guys outside of what they portray in the media.
Not as high profile.
And it's coming from Bill Belichick and the way he runs this franchise. obviously, no matter what was thrown at them this season, they had everything they've stacked up against them.
Yeah.
And now they're playing in the Super Bowl against a red-hot Atlanta team with Matt Ryan at quarterback. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a star-studded Super Bowl, and I'm pretty pumped about it.
Well, we get to go to Houston, which is exciting.
Yay,
too.
Thanks
for hanging out with me.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Go get your workout in.
I will. Pray for me. I got 800 workout today.
Prayers are sent your way. This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Monday late in January. I can't believe that this season is almost over. Thanks to Annie Kuntz and Courtney Cox of Nesson up there in Boston for hanging out in hour one. Hour two is always my brunette hour.
Yeah.
So if you are watching us, you know that me and Annie are both blondes and Alex is very brunette. If you're listening,
and y'all are very blonde, so it's funny that you say that.
And if you're listening to us, you're like, I don't. Why is she brunette? Well, we've got a lot of blondes around here.
That's true, we do. But you know what? You always say every group of blondes needs that like one brunette just to kind of even it out a little bit.
Blondes are crazy.
Y'all are crazy.
I can say that because I am one.
Yeah, y'all are insane. And I can say that because we're good friends and you know I love you and all your blonde craziness.
Well, it's kind of like I can yell at my sister, but nobody else can.
Right.
That's the same thing.
Like you can talk bad about your sister behind her back, but if anybody talks bad about my sister behind her back,
Game over.
Exactly.
Welcome in on SB Nation Radio nationally every Monday. And then, of course, gridironnow.com, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, and iTunes. Thanks to Kendra Scott for being our lovely sponsors. Who doesn't love jewelry?
Everybody loves jewelry.
So we're talking.
Maybe not the men listening.
But go buy your woman jewelry.
Exactly, because she's going
to
love it.
And if you do happen to love jewelry, whether you're a man or a woman, Kendra Scott is where you should go.
There you go.
I don't see any issue.
Nope.
We can talk about football and basketball and dating advice in the same show.
And jewelry and hair. Oh, wow.
We're
really multidimensional.
Yeah, we are. Hair. So welcome in, guys. We're asking you, if you are on social media, send in your questions, comments, whatever you want to send to us. We want to talk to you guys later in the show. Our producer, Carly, will be joining me on air.
So exciting.
Second time to do that, to kind of throw some stuff at me. So we want to hear from you. Talked about Johnny Manziel. Talked about Aaron Rodgers a little bit. Yeah. Talked about Tom Brady. Who knows where this segment will take us. But Alex, when Annie was on, I can't even speak. Mm-hmm. When Annie was on, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers in regards to Tom Brady. We didn't really talk a lot about Aaron Rodgers. But he is one of those guys that, obviously, one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league right now.
Absolutely.
Made a huge argument of how important his team that he is. He was so hot. We saw how he was able to beat the Cowboys in Arlington, whatever. I fully expected Aaron Rodgers to win this game. Obviously, I didn't take the credit how good Matt Ryan was going to play. Mm-hmm. But now the attention has come is Aaron Rodgers had a lot of negative attention on him early in the season. They kind of had that slide. It was, you know, is he distracted? Mm-hmm. What's going on with his family? And then he pulls it out. And then going into this game, everybody kind of had that feeling like, how good is this team? They get blown out. Not all Aaron Rodgers' fault, but when you watched it, did you get the sense that if this team didn't have somebody like him, they would have even no business being there? Or did the magic just run out for Aaron Rodgers?
I think kind of both, honestly. I think the magic kind of maybe ran out a little bit. And maybe it's not, and you say run out, it's not gone forever. I just think you have highs and lows, and it's part of sports. You have good days and bad days. Annie can be the first person to tell you that, you know, one day she might throw the javelin 1,000 feet, and the next day she might not even, you know, maybe she'll hit herself in the head, which that did happen. She's going to kill me for saying that. But, you know, I mean, it's an athlete. Those things happen. Sometimes you don't play your best. You know, when you look at his passing percentages and things like that, it definitely was the lowest it's been since the past five games. But
he still threw for 287 yards. He still had 3 touchdowns.
He's still Aaron Rodgers. He just didn't look as Aaron Rodgers as we would have expected to see.
And I think that that's why the Packers were such an interesting storyline going into this game against the Falcons, because the Falcons have been red hot, but under the radar red hot. And you've got Matt Ryan, but Aaron Rodgers was the reason everybody was talking about this team.
Right.
He said around Thanksgiving, he was like, this is when this matters. And they had played to that capability, obviously, up until yesterday's game. But now via ESPN, and I love their random like stats and information, but now Aaron Rodgers has become the only quarterback to start 6 consecutive postseasons without reaching a Super Bowl from 2011 to 2016. And you see how he made this team get on this push. He had that magic. He had those Hail Mary moments.
Yeah.
He had the 3rd-and-20 pass to Jared Cook against the Cowboys. but then it ran out. How much do you put on Aaron Rodgers with this?
I mean, a lot. And we talked about this last week. You know, the quarterbacks in the NFL are such a big deal. They really are. They have so much say in what, you know, what goes on even off the field. You know, when it comes, even after the game, I think he said, I had pulled a quote. He was talking about, you know, I don't think we need to rebuild. We need to reload. And he's brought to the attention, you know, we have a lot of younger guys who were big contributors that we didn't expect starting the season out. And you guys talked about this, the injuries and things like that. So you can look at all those different factors that play into sports and this game that we all love so much. But at the end of the day, we all know that in the NFL, it does come down to your quarterback.
It absolutely does. And that's why you look at the two quarterbacks that are going to be playing in Super Bowl 51 mm-hmm. with Tom Brady and Matt Ryan. We've talked about the whole show, just how good these guys are. Aaron Rodgers is really good. Ben Roethlisberger is really good. But when they don't play well, of course, losing Le'Veon Bell for the Steelers, I mean, you can just put a cap on that, in my opinion, because of how good he was. But Aaron Rodgers is the reason the Packers were where they were this year.
Right.
They had a completely injured secondary. They had a depleted defense a lot of the times. They didn't have a lot of all their offensive weapons at the same time. Their offensive line yesterday just did not give him the protection that he needed. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't put this on Aaron Rodgers. I think that a little bit of it is maybe earlier in the season mm-hmm. when he seemed to be distracted, when you've got things about, you know, his family doesn't talk to him. He's estranged. Olivia Munn, who's obviously his actress girlfriend, is involved in these conversations. But he got the job done when he needed to. Mm-hmm. And he can't carry a team against a team like Atlanta mm-hmm. that's so red hot completely across the board. I don't think that this does anything to knock him of how good of an NFL quarterback he is. And he's only 33. He's got a lot of time left.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that I want to bring up, you know, you talk about the rough start in the beginning of the season and those issues that went on at that time period. Well, that had a lot to do with the seeding that took place. And, you know, the fact that they did have to go play this in the Georgia Dome, that crowd was insane. And I mean,
the last game in the Georgia Dome.
Come on, how can you not? And I pulled a quote too, where he says, you know, we've played in three of these now and they were all on the road and it's tough to do so. And so, you know, he talks about you know, what it's like that it, when you host a game, you get to sleep in your own bed, you get to mm-hmm. rest, you have your fan base. It is different. It is impactful to play these huge games in on your home field, because like we just said, the sleeping in your own bed, the non-traveling, just the I think the focus level changes so much when you're playing at home. And you know what, if the what happened in the beginning didn't happen, maybe they would have been hosting that game.
He always has to answer hard questions, right? And he mm-hmm. does handle it very well. A lot of people talk about his attitude and just kind of the way he handles himself. I've always been very impressed whenever, if I was getting questions about who I'm dating and my family and I'm an NFL quarterback, I'd be a lot more testy.
Yeah.
I think, but after the game yesterday, he really handled himself well, in my opinion. I know he had a long press conference, but our producer, Ron, again, I'm really pushing for that handle, pulled a little bit of Aaron Rodgers' post-game press conference. And again, I was very impressed by it. Roll it, Ronnie.
Yes, good defense. Yeah. Play a simple scheme and they run it really well. You know, they rely on their pass rush and their drop lanes, and yeah, did a good job. We hurt ourselves early with missed field goal and then another good drive down there and fumbled inside the 10. Hurt the momentum of the game. Obviously not getting points, staying in the game. Their offense is hot right now. Matt's playing incredible. Playing a team like that, you gotta start faster than that. We had 0 points in the first half. You're not gonna win many games like that.
Those are two things that hardly ever happen. Mason never misses field goals in playoffs. And you guys didn't fumble the ball hardly at all during this 8-game winning streak. How devastating is that? How hard is it to come back from that? Because can you get into a shootout if those two things don't happen?
Well, that's the what-if game, you know. But it is definitely very uncharacteristic of our football team. And unfortunately, in a game like this, it comes down to the little details. And if you're not on, and you're making little mistakes like that, you know, it's going to be tough to win against a really tough offense.
Handled it exactly the way he should. Mm-hmm. Gave credit where credit was due, because, of course, like we've said all show, and everybody's talking about how good Atlanta played, how good Matt Ryan was. I mean, he played so well. Right. His passer rating, his QBR, I mean, everything just was where it needed to be. But Aaron Rodgers handled it and said he's exactly right. They just didn't have the momentum. He didn't get protection. He didn't blame it on his offensive line, mm-hmm. but the Falcons defense got all the pressure on him they needed to. Like we mentioned earlier, over 40% mm-hmm. of his dropbacks had pressure on him. But just an interesting thing, because Aaron Rodgers, on the flip side of Tom Brady, is a lot of the times in this kind of Hollywood-esque headline, but he handles it with, he says, this is about football. And I wanted to see the Packers win, because I wanted to see an Aaron Rodgers-Tom Brady Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But he's right. They just didn't have all their pieces come together. And obviously, Atlanta was just the better team in the end.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And like we kind of said, it does to some degree fall back on Aaron Rodgers because he is your quarterback and he is your guy on that Packers team. But at the same time, there's lots of other factors that go into it. And I don't think that he's any less of a productive quarterback by any means. It just didn't go their way.
And when you look at the Patriots, and we've talked obviously a lot about the Patriots.
Y'all talking a lot about the Patriots.
Yeah, that's kind of everybody's talking about that right now. But the difference with the Patriots a lot of times in comparison to the rest of these teams, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, whether it's Ben Roethlisberger, whoever it is that you're not only just looking at the quarterback. There's a lot of attention sometimes whenever coaches don't do the right thing. But at the Patriots, it's always about Bill Belichick, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody talks about the Belichick factor. We talked to Courtney Cox of NESN earlier. She said it too. It's a family atmosphere. They handle themselves differently. Julian Edelman came out and said, I'm cattle. I just go with the herd. Basically the same thing as do your job, right? Martellus Bennett said the same thing. We don't care who gets the ball. That's the difference with this Patriots team. And I think you've seen that this year than anybody else, even the Cowboys, even all these big time storylines. Because it's coming down to you've got the best combination in the NFL in Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And that's why it's hard. Even if the Packers would have made the Super Bowl, it would have been very hard to bet against Tom Brady, no matter how hot Aaron Rodgers was or could have been had they beat the Falcons.
Right. No, and I completely agree. It is a completely different tone as far as culture goes when you look at that organization and what Belichick's been able to put together and the respect that he's demanded. And like I said earlier, you know, in the NFL, a lot of times you put a lot on your quarterbacks and they're essentially almost a second head coach to me, in my opinion. I think sometimes
especially
they take
Tom
on
Brady.
especially when you're Tom Brady. But I think that he's created this culture. It's like it's almost like the family thing. He's dad almost, you know, and it's that type of respect. They're not going to be in the locker room Facebook living his post-game speeches. You know what I mean?
Too soon. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about the NFL and get some NBA storylines because Alex is not only our resident brunette, she's also our resident basketball fan.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to all of that and more. This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Monday, joined by Alex Parker, live on SB Nation Radio nationally every Monday night, 8 to 10 Eastern. Then, of course, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, GridironNow.com, and on iTunes. So
Wherever
you want to find us.
You have no excuse to not be listening to us, basically.
Yeah, if you're not watching or you're not listening, what are you doing? Maybe drinking. I don't know. Depends. Yeah. Are you celebratory drinking if you're the Patriots and the Falcons?
Probably. Then you have an excuse. That's fine.
Football's about to end. Any excuse I can find. I know.
Stop. Don't remind me. Don't say that. It's not over yet, so we don't need to be sad yet.
Well, we want to hear from you guys. So if you have comments, questions, whatever you've got for us, send them in on social media. Carly will be throwing those at me later on in the show. We're talking a lot about, is Tom Brady the GOAT? Are you mad Luke Bryan sing the national anthem? We got into that earlier. I am not happy about that. Just whatever you want to send us. We want to hear from you guys. But one of the topics we've been talking about kind of all show and is Aggies has been more in our radar, but of course, kind of all over because anytime this particular individual
this guy's on every radar.
Exactly. So Johnny Manziel and Annie and I talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but he's made this public push now to stay sober. He's actually having like a count, like you can go on his Instagram and see how long he's been sober. He's working out with his trainer, George Whitfield, who also works for ESPN, who was a huge, huge part of his run to the Heisman. And I mean, everybody knows that he spent all that time in San Diego. So Johnny Manziel is now coming out and saying, hey, I was a douchebag in 2016.
I love that word.
Yeah. It's a good word. And that's what he said. And you see these TMZ headlines of him all the time. Then now he's saying that I'm going to be new in 2017. It's all about getting back to where I started. If you follow him on Snapchat, he seems to really be turning his life around. Then you see he's at the game last night, the AFC Championship game, wearing a Tom Brady jersey. Do you buy it? Is this his time where he gets back? Obviously, it's going to be difficult no matter what, because it's not an individual sport. You know, I've always equated it to like a child star with like, you know, Justin Bieber or Lindsay Lohan or somebody. They can have these meltdowns, but then they just put out a good album or they put out a good movie and they kind of can change that perception. It's a little difficult when you play
football
or like Dustin Johnson in the PGA. You know, Tiger Woods could, you know, the same kind of thing. It's you're in complete control. Obviously, you have to have a team take, you know, a chance on you. You have to have everybody in the locker room take a chance on you as well. But the first step is him bettering himself. And it seems to look like he is thus far in 2017.
Yeah. And I mean, kind of what Annie said, you want to believe it. And I'll go even a step further. I think I 80% believe it. I really do. And this time, you know, I pulled part of what he posted on Instagram yesterday, and he said, I'm broken. This was at the end of it all. And he said, broken, humbled, but for once in my life, thankful for that today. I'm 18 days sober so far with a clear head on my shoulders. All I have is today, and we'll take this thing a day at a time for as long as it takes. You made it happen, and I'm all in, cousin, because I know you always have been. Let's just go. Just wait on it. And I think for him to come out and refer to himself as a douchebag, just that alone, like, he's obviously turned a new leaf in his head, because to me, Johnny Manziel 3 months ago would have never come on and said that about himself.
Well, first step is admitting it, right? And, and you talk about somebody like Tom Brady or any of these quarterbacks we've been talking about, you know, they are older. Mm-hmm. They have not gone through a lot of what he's gone through or what he's put himself through. And I mean, in all honesty, that's what it is. But he is young enough. I mean, he's what, like 24 mm-hmm. years old? He's
24.
He's not that old. He does have time to turn it around. Has it been too late? And you see that sometimes. You want to believe it, and then he kind of reverts back. But it seems like mm-hmm. he's doing everything that he can. And as a human being, take A&M out of it. Take an NFL fan out of it. Take whatever. As a human being, you don't want to see somebody waste all that talent or hurt themselves with alcohol, with drugs, whatever it may be.
Of course not.
So for me, outside of knowing Johnny and going to A&M, you want to see this comeback because he is so talented.
Yeah, and so much fun to watch.
And he shouldn't be sitting in the stands of Gillette wearing a Tom Brady jersey. Like, no. It's fun, and it's mm-hmm. good to see, and, you know, he's having a good time. But he needs to be playing in the NFL.
I completely agree.
And this could be a really good step of seeing him back, maybe not in 2017, but maybe in 2018 or whenever that may be. Mm-hmm. And it seems like he's definitely thinking the same way that a lot of us are as well.
Absolutely. And you bring up that he was at the game, and, you know, I saw a few things on Twitter where people were like, oh, I'm going to be sober, and then, you know, they're making fun of him because he's like, who cares, y'all? He's at a game. To me, the fact that he's surrounding himself with football, the fact that he's investing his time in football, shows that this is what he wants. If Johnny Manziel just wanted a party, don't you think he would have sat in California and just partied? I mean, the dude wants to be back in football, and you can see that. And I, like we said, he's so fun to watch and so entertaining, and you would hate to see the talent go to waste. And I think everybody deep down inside really does want this to work out.
If you're watching us on social media, we want to hear from you. Do you buy this Johnny Manziel come back, and what's it going to take? What's it going to take for him to be on an NFL team and back to doing what he does so well and did so well in college? Mm-hmm. Of course, we're going to talk to Aaron Torres of Fox Sports in just a little bit about the NFL. He's from the area of New England and hates the Patriots. But
that's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. But before we get that, of course, NBA headlines.
Yes.
Which,
hey, guys, real quick, though, before you switch gears, it looks like, and I don't know.
Are you about to bring up Johnny on Twitter?
Well, that's worry. But it looks like the Twitter account no longer exists.
What?
Johnny Manziel's?
Yeah.
So that voice that you hear is producer Ron.
Hold up.
Which I love that I actually have my headphones in so I can get. So a little bit of drama on Twitter.
Yeah. So about an hour ago, Johnny Manziel sends out a tweet. Luckily, I still have this pulled up on my screen because apparently Johnny Manziel's Twitter does not exist anymore. But about an hour ago, he said, yo, at the president of the United States, he says, even I know to stay away from the notification section on Twitter. That beep will drive you crazy and lead the country and let them hate. And then he says, hashtag really got the fastest Twitter fingers in the land. And then he follows it up. He says, control what you can control and let the rest fall by the wayside. And now he deleted Twitter. So I guess he just wanted to go out with a bang and say, yo, what's up, Mr. President? Here's my advice. And then drop the mic.
Unless maybe there's like some sort of glitch on Twitter. Because I know, like, sometimes I'll log into my Twitter and I'll say, like, I have zero followers. I'm like, well, did every single person that follows me just decide to unfollow me today? Which maybe wouldn't be so weird because of stuff I talk about. But I don't know. You know, his pinned tweet, you have it brought up on his timeline. His pinned tweet is, no lie, I was a douche in 2016, but now I'm trying to be a good person. Hashtag lost in the sauce. And now he's tweeting at Donald Trump because the president of the United States handle was Donald Trump. It was that was quick too.
Yeah.
Like, that was like during the inauguration, Twitter had their crap together. But I don't, just stay off of social media, maybe. I don't know.
Be a bad thing if Johnny Manziel deleted his social media. I mean, I don't think it would be a terrible thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing anytime anybody deletes their social media. No. But at the same time, for people like us who get paid to talk about sports on national radio, we don't want people to delete their Twitters.
That's true. We need it. so we can talk about what you're talking about.
Like Bill Belichick talking about like Snapface and all this stuff. Like, I would prefer... Oh. I would prefer him to have Twitter just because I think it's funny.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I just refreshed my page and it says, sorry, the page does not exist. So maybe Casey's right and it's a glitch. Or maybe you're listening right now and you're just finding out that Johnny Manziel is getting off the Twitter train.
Maybe Donald Trump called Johnny Manziel and told him to get off Twitter.
Yeah. He was That's like, my conspiracy theory. Hey, I got some advice. You want me to back off Twitter? Maybe you should get off
Twitter. Conspiracy theories are awry today on this Monday. We were going to get to NBA topics, but we have Aaron Torres of Fox Sports coming on in just a second. But in reality, Alex, the NFL, obviously, biggest business, I mean, of sports by far, mm-hmm. right? You look at those games yesterday. We've broken them all down. We've looked at them. The Super Bowl is coming up. The Super Bowl parties, everything that surrounds it is bar none. We got a couple of weeks to talk about it. But in reality, you can break down everything that's going on. It comes down to the fact you've got two of the best quarterbacks of the season, if not the two best. Sorry, Derek Carr, you got hurt. but it's going to be a lot of fun to watch for all the hoopla that surrounds it. But Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, and these offenses and these defenses, it's going to be really fun to watch, and I know you're really excited too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, how can you not be? If you're a football fan, it's Super Bowl time, and guess what? It's just right down the road in Houston. I'm still trying to find tickets, so if anybody has tickets.
Hey, ticket prices dropped when the Cowboys
I know, Cowboys lost. I know, I saw that. But come on, I'm still only 2 years out of college. I'm still grinding over here, so.
Come on, somebody help her out. Wherever you are in the country listening right now.
Look at me using my radio time to try to get tickets to the Super Bowl.
Give Alex Parker Super Bowl tickets. That is our
hashtag
goal.
Hashtag send AP to the Super Bowl. Do you know if I went to the Super Bowl, that'd be my first NFL game to see live since the time I was could like remember it? Because I went to an NFL game when I was like three, but I don't remember.
Send AP to Houston. That's what we need to do. We're going to talk to Aaron Torres of Fox Sports on the other side. This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Monday, joined by the resident brunette, Alex Parker, talking about the NFL, talking about Tom Brady and Matt Ryan and just the craziness surrounding those games yesterday. Of course, previewing Super Bowl 51 for the next couple of weeks. We're going to jump out to somebody that is from the New England area but doesn't like the Patriots, because I know this is going to be very interesting. Aaron Torres of Fox Sports covers all sports, college football, college basketball centric. But I need to know, why in the world, Aaron Torres, do you not like the Patriots?
I mean, I don't like the Patriots for the same reason that basically England, except for you, Casey, apparently likes the Patriots. They're just unlikable. I mean, what is their... I mean, besides, you know, Tom Brady's, you know, smile that... like, they're, I don't know what there is to like. We can get into specific details, but I actually want the counter of the Patriots from a non-Patriots fan.
So I can admit that for a long time, the Patriots were kind of annoying to me as a Dallas Cowboys fan because they just had so much success as of late. But I cannot stand Deflategate. I think it was so ridiculous, the fact that the Supreme Court was even being brought into it. Like what Roger Goodell was doing to try to hinder the Patriots' success and Tom Brady, I just thought it was ridiculous. So that kind of made me a Patriots fan. I don't know if I'm in the minority on that, but I like to see them have success. And the fact that Tom Brady may be getting the Lombardi Trophy from Goodell, that is amazing to me.
Yeah, I think the Goodell aspect will be interesting, but like, look, I don't think it's the Supreme Court dragged into it, and I don't even necessarily blame Roger Goodell. Like, you know, listen, first of all, I think you know, at some degree of being there, right? Like, we've gone over it for 2 years. The text, you know, Tom Brady refers to a guy as a deflator, blah blah blah. Clearly something happened. Now, whether it actually impacted the game, it's clear that it didn't. You know, obviously we know the stats. Tom Brady, just in that AFC championship game against the Colts, was better after they properly, you know, inflated the footballs than he was previously when they were deflated. But I think the broader point is, like, you know, look, I think it's easy to kind of get behind, like, the New England media and, like, oh, Goodell has it out for us. It's like, yeah, there's a reason Goodell has it out for you. You know, like, this like this organization has been systematically trying to, like, get around, you know, trying to game the system for two decades now. I mean, obviously, you know, as I said, that's probably not as big of a deal in hindsight as everybody made it out to be, but we know about that Belichick has done through the years. And as I said, I just think, like, look, obviously, as I kind of told you, like, incredible run. You cannot get the run no matter how it's happening. But, you know, like I said, they're just really, really hard to like for that reason, for some of the players. Organization, they're just really hard to like.
Well, maybe I'm in the minority. We're talking to Aaron Torres of Fox Sports about not liking the Patriots. I just really like watching the storylines because I think he is the greatest quarterback of all time. I think Bill Belichick obviously is one of the greatest NFL coaches of all time. But when you look at this matchup, they have to play a team in Atlanta and Matt Ryan that are making a case that they are the best team this season, Aaron. So outside of like your personal feelings for the Patriots, do you think that this is one of the better matchups for them? I mean, obviously in the AFC, they made a pretty easy run despite everything thrown at them. But how good this Atlanta team has been, what do you predict happens in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting because obviously, like, you know, the stat that's getting floated around is, you know, the top-ranked offense versus the top-ranked defense. Atlanta obviously having that top-ranked offense. And I do think it's going to be a real challenge. You know, obviously, it's been already length, which is kind of incredible since the title 12 hours ago, but just didn't exactly play very many guys like Matt Ryan all year long. They, you know, obviously playing in the NFC East with the Bills and the Jets doesn't exactly kind of prepare you for this type of game, but even divisional games, you know, they didn't really face a lot of the elite quarterbacks in the league. And obviously, Matt Ryan has kind of had ups and downs throughout his career, but I've heard a lot of people, you know, my buddy Clay Travis from Outkick the Show on radio, I believe has made the case for Matt Ryan as league MVP. And it's going to be an interesting game because I think, you know, for the casual fan that's just getting kind of the Falcons and what they're doing, including myself, you know, I think the offense is a lot better and a lot more balanced than I thought it was, kind of with the two running backs. You know, Julio Jones is so phenomenal. I remember, you know, where I was that day that he had, like, you know, 300 receiving yards or whatever it was against the Panthers earlier this year, and it hasn't really... I do agree, like, you know, I think it's going to be a very kind of entertaining matchup, compelling matchup, and I think the Patriots are going to have their hands cut or their hands full with the Falcons, because I do think it's going to be the best offense I've seen all year.
Talking to Aaron Torres of Fox Sports, absolutely, their offense is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Of course, anytime you've got Tom Brady in the storylines, offense is going to be key as well for them. You mentioned great quarterbacks, and you talk about Matt Ryan and how Clay Travis and everybody else has talked about how good he's been this season. Aaron Rodgers was one of those names, obviously, lately, that was kind of coming back into the conversation for maybe the regular season MVP for what he was doing. How much do you put that loss yesterday? Obviously, they got beat really badly. How much do you put on Aaron Rodgers?
I really frankly don't put much on him. I mean, look, I mean, obviously he has a day that he'd like to forget, but when the offense gives up, or when the defense gives up 44 points, you know, Matt Ryan's, you know, looks like Michael Vick scrambling for whatever it was, a 25-yard touchdown. I think a lot of the blame goes to his defense. I think obviously, not having all his weapons available to him, you know, with Jordy Nelson out and all that stuff clearly hurt. And I just think, dude, you know, like, look, we saw it a few weeks ago with the Seahawks going on the road into Atlanta, into the Georgia thing to do. And so, you know, I know it's overreaction Monday, and, you know, listen, we do the same thing in college football. We do the same thing in college football for 15 weeks a year, and obviously NFL fans do the same. To put much of that loss, if anything, on him, you just can't do it. And then, oh, by the way, one thing that I probably should have mentioned, you know, kind of the last question that you asked about the Falcons being the best team that the Patriots might have faced all year, the Falcons' defense just looks really good, and they're getting good. They're getting a good pass rush on the opponent the last few weeks. Obviously, Rodgers specifically yesterday, Vic Beasley. That defensive line looks really tough. So I think a lot of people put so much his offense. I think it's easy to forget. Well, as well, Russell Wilson last week, Aaron Rodgers this past Sunday.
Well, it is Overreaction Monday, and that's why we all have jobs, I guess, because we like to overreact on everything. And right now, that's why we get paid, right, Aaron? So right now, a lot of overreaction on Johnny Manziel being sober, trying to get back in the league. Obviously, it's all over social media. There's a lot of different ways we could go with this, but do you think that this is an opportunity for Johnny Manziel to even get back in the NFL? Is it even possible for him to make it back?
Gabe Bach from TexAgs kind of asked me this question the other day. You know, look, I think that there's a lot of steps for Johnny Manziel on the road to recovery. I don't know if you guys even saw this, but within like the last 20 minutes or so, he's deleted his Twitter account.
Yeah, we talked about that. It's crazy.
Did you guys saw this?
Yeah, I think we were like on air when he deleted it, probably.
So, anyways, what I was going to say, though, in all seriousness, is like, you know, you got context, kind of in football, pro, college, whatever. And the same with me. And, you know, the one thing that kind of we all get lost to, we all, that it is really hard to find good quarterbacks. And, you know, we talk about Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, but that many good ones across the league. And so when it comes to Manziel specifically, he's obviously got a lot of steps on the road to recovery, put together a frame of time. I don't know if it's a year, 18 months, whatever it is, where he can really prove to people that he's staying out of trouble, that he's really working hard. I really think he's going to get another chance, because I just think that there aren't enough good quarterbacks to go around. Too many teams that need him, and year after year after year, you know, we're trying to find the next great guy. You know, I was talking to Gabe, like Mitch Trubisky goes from starting, you know, 12 or 13 NFL college games to potentially being the number one pick in this coming draft. Is there just aren't a lot of good quarterbacks available. You know, the one thing about Johnny Manziel, he's obviously had college success. He's obviously had minimal NFL success. I think, you know, the stat was, I think the Browns went a full year between wins, and up until of 2016, he get a win for the Cleveland Browns. So the only reason I bring it up is to say that I think there's just such a dearth of quality quarterbacks, and there are so many teams that need them, that if, you know, if he can prove over an extended period of time that he's got his act together, if he can, I really do think he might get another shot at the NFL.
Hey, Aaron, before we let you go, I know we've been talking a lot about football and everything, but I'm the basketball fan, and we didn't have time to get my NBA stuff in, and I know you're a college hoops fan, so I just, the AP rankings came out, and I was looking at it, and you got Villanova on top, the defending national champions, but how good is the Kansas team sitting at number two, and they're on that 18-game win streak? They haven't lost since their first game of the season, and how far do you think Kansas can go? Do you think Bill Self can take this team to a national title this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. As you mentioned, they haven't lost in like two calendar months, and they're playing really, really well. You know, the Big 12 as a whole in basketball is a little bit down this year. Oklahoma obviously went to the Final Four last year. I think they're below 500 right now. West Virginia's lost their last. As far as Kansas, like, look, I mean, I think they're in the short conversation of teams that are really, really good, that could potentially win the national championship. Obviously, Villanova, our buddies at Fox here, we brought. They're playing spectacularly, and I think maybe are even better as a team than they were last year when they won the title. Obviously, Kentucky, you know, North Carolina, maybe UCLA in the mid. Man, you know, they have good veteran guards. They've been there before. They get so much, you know, people give Kansas so much flack for kind of not playing well in the tournament. But, like, if you look at years past, like, last year, they almost the Elite Eight. And yeah, they were the number one seed, but they ended up losing to the team that won the national championship. So I think, like I said, they're in the short conversation of teams that can win it all. I think tomorrow, Tuesday, they play West Virginia, and I think that's going to be a really good game. But I think that they're right in that mix, and I think they're looking it's going to be really interesting to see kind of if they can kind of keep this rolling going into the next couple of weeks at the end of the regular season.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. And I'm going to have to continue this Patriots debate with you off air because I have so much to say, and I think we really need to figure this one out.
I actually have a lot to say, too. I was a lot less angry than I thought I was going to be, so I'll be sure to bring a little more fire if we continue it offline, all right?
All right. Thanks, Aaron, so much.
Bye, Aaron.
Aaron Torres of Fox Sports. He's funny.
He is.
He's really. And he's a Patriots hater, and I totally get it. And you know, we talked a lot of topics, you know, during the season was football season was who do you hate more, the Patriots or the Cowboys? Because those are the two most hated teams.
Right.
Well, only one of them obviously made it to the Super Bowl, and we've got people from that area who hate the Patriots. So people really
hate
the
Patriots. Yeah.
Well, thanks for hanging out
with
me.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited, you know, just to keep it going and get to see Carly on.
I know. We're going to switch it up a little bit. She's blonde, too, so.
Oh, okay. So bye. No more brunettes.
Thanks so much to Alex Parker and, of course, Aaron Torres of FoxSports.com. Coming up next, we're going to have producer Carly on the air, her second time on national radio. She's going to be asking questions and whatever you guys want to do. So send us in your comments, your questions. Is Johnny Manziel really back for real? Is Tom Brady the GOAT? Has that been solidified? And just whatever you guys want to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. This is the Casey Smith Show, finishing up on a Monday, January the 23rd. Looking forward to Super Bowl 51 in Houston in just a couple of weeks. Of course, breaking down all the NFL games over the weekend. They were kind of boring, so that sucks. But thanks to Annie Kuntz, Courtney Cox, Alex Parker, and Aaron Torres for joining me. And now for the last segment, I have our beautiful producer, Carly.
Oh, thank you.
How are you feeling today?
Good, good. My French professor actually emailed us today, and she emailed us in French. I understood the whole thing. Well, so not to brag or anything.
And you and I, like I said, I am not going to tell anybody your last name or how old you are because I try to keep, you know, you protected. But the fact that you're as young as you are, and I know, and you can read in French already, and
I was pretty proud of myself.
I would love to learn French. That's really cool. Are you having fun in school right now? That's how young she is, guys, by the way. She's
fun.
In
fun. It's school.
It is.
I like my classes, though, so that's good.
That's good. And you get to intern in the sports world. So basically, yes, you're living the dream. At least I'm biased.
I am.
So what we've got for me on the social media side of things?
So how does this Patriots team compare to the one that beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl?
That's a really good question. And a lot of people are comparing those teams right now. I think that the thing about the Patriots that's so interesting, and we've talked about this off air, on air, everybody's talking about it, is how everything stacked up against them this year. They're playing their best football. That team that beat the Seahawks was really good, obviously. Mm-hmm. This season for me is so different because you look at all the things that the Patriots had go for, against them. Tom Brady didn't even play four games. Now, of course, the argument would have been, okay, well, even if they went 0-4 with Garoppolo or with Brissett, they could have still come back, but they didn't. They had their third string quarterback winning games. Then they trade two of their best defensive players. They lose their best offensive weapon outside of Tom Brady and Gronk, and they just keep coming back. So there's a lot of similarities, I think. And obviously, anytime Tom Brady makes it to the Super Bowl, you're going to see that. But this team is different to me because of how they've overcome everything. The difference is I think the Falcons team this year is better than the Seahawks were that year. That's saying a lot. But I think Matt Ryan is playing the best football of his life right now.
We also got some Johnny Manziel questions. So one viewer said that he should go play in the CFL.
I think that would be a good idea. And I know you're an Aggie, your family is full of Aggies. Yes. Obviously, I grew up
born
an Aggie
raised.
Too. Born, I mean, we're crazy people.
Oh,
you know, we're absolutely crazy. So I think that the difficulty as an Aggie fan, if you take that out, is you want to see him succeed because of how well he played at A&M and you know what he's capable of, mm-hmm. but it's not going to be easy to jump back in the NFL.
No.
And maybe the CFL is a good way, but the problem is a lot of times you see these guys go play in the CFL and then they kind of just disappear. Now it's hard for him to disappear, although he might have on Twitter, you know, but I mean, as an Aggie fan, and you've grown up watching him play. I mean, you just want to see him succeed, right?
Right.
So maybe the CFL is the way to go. I don't know. It's going to be very difficult, I think, for any time in the short term for somebody to take a chance on him. But he does, like Aaron Torres of Fox Sports mentioned, he does need, you know, maybe 18 months, maybe 2 years to prove that he's really serious about this. And maybe the CFL is a good bridge.
Now, if he did make it into the NFL, which team do you see him playing for?
Okay, well, I think that it's going to come down to, and Aaron Torres said it perfectly, it's going to come down to who needs a quarterback at the time. So if it's this upcoming season, which I don't think is possible, but there's, look at all the teams that need quarterbacks. And, you know, we're talking about Tony Romo right now and where he's going to be traded, or Deshaun Watson or Mitch Trubisky that it's in the draft. So there's a lot of openings. It just really depends on what team needs a quarterback and how desperately they need a quarterback.
Right.
Because the Browns needed one really bad and they just are a quarterback graveyard right there. So it depends. It also depends on how quickly he changes his narrative. I think that's going to be tough anytime that you go through things that he's going through right now. So I don't know, but I mean, the Texans definitely need a quarterback.
Right.
So people in Houston, Texas might be pulling for Johnny
Manziel.
Hey,
there's lots of Aggies in Houston.
A lot of Aggies in Houston. And, you know, they owe Brock Osweiler about $1 billion. So,
right.
But I do think it depends on who's looking for a quarterback and when, and who's desperate enough maybe to take a chance on somebody that obviously didn't pan out in the NFL.
We also got some comments about the national anthem singer.
Oh, I'm not happy about Luke Bryan.
Yeah, you got called a Luke Bryan hater.
Oh, no. No, look, I am not a Luke Bryan hater. I just would prefer him not to sing the national anthem. Is that, I mean, okay, here's my question for you. When you watch the Super Bowl, you watch halftime, you're like, you want to see like a great performance, right? You want to see crazy lights and dancing. When you watch the national anthem, you want to see really good vocals and you want it to be a very respectful moment that's really like full of talent. I'm not saying Luke Bryan's not talented, but it comes down to the vocals for me. And if you're going to be picking somebody to sing the national anthem, he would not be anywhere near my list.
No, Adele should have done it.
I think so,
Ed
too.
Ed Sheeran.
That would be a good one. There's a lot of people that I might necessarily not want to see perform live. You know, I mean, I'd love to see Adele because she's Adele.
Right.
But she's not going to put on some crazy concert. Luke Bryan would. You saw Luke Bryan in person, right?
Yes.
How good was he?
Performing-wise, great. Live singing, that's debatable.
And the national anthem is so hard to sing. We know that. I mean, I can't pretend that I would sound good at all. But the national anthem is really tough, and you see those awful YouTube videos and stuff whenever like people right. fail. It's terrible. Like Eli Young, who I love, like they failed the national anthem. I don't even remember where it was, but it wasn't good. And that lives forever. I'm not saying Luke Bryan's going to fail because he's still an artist and he performs in front of, you know, thousands of people all the time.
Right.
But his vocals just are not national anthem worthy to me.
No, I agree with you on that one.
Does that make me a hater?
I don't think so. I'd still go see him in concert, though.
And he's really good looking, too. I mean, he is right? the epitome of, like, the Nashville performer. He's good. I mean, his songs are so catchy. Like, that Shake yes. song, Shake It For Me, Girl. Like, that's been in my head this entire show because we talked about it earlier. But for the national anthem, I'd rather see the saxophone guy. I love that.
Someone said, why can't the sax player from the Falcons do the anthem?
When I saw him do that the first time, I was like, this is the best national anthem I've ever seen. Of any sport. And I worked in the NBA. Everybody tries to upstage everybody. Like, to me, the national anthem, especially like I told Annie in the show, as much attention that has been on the national anthem in the NFL this year, get a saxophone player where the words can't be messed up. Yeah, you know, they can miss right. a note or two. But like Luke Bryan would just not have been my choice. But I would love to see him at halftime. I think he'd be a great halftime show.
Exactly.
I mean, I feel like they should have hired us maybe.
Well, I got my singing from my dad. That's not going to be good.
You know, my dad is actually a really good singer, and this sounds so weird. Whenever my voice changed when I got older, which is not normal, I don't think, but like I used to be able to sing when I was younger, mm-hmm. and then I got older, and it got a little bit deeper and raspier, and like I'm awful now. I'm so bad. My dad used to sing national anthems at our high school basketball games.
Oh, that's cool.
Claim to fame, Ron Smith right there.
Right?
Right there. Anything else on social media?
That's it.
Luke Bryan, hater. That's my yes. new thing. That's crazy. I refuse to admit that. Well, Carly, and I'm not saying her last name, but we appreciate having you. You're wonderful. Well,
thank you for having me.
Best intern ever.
Well, thank you.
Best intern ever.
I do
ever.
My best.
Well, it's good. Between you and Ronnie and the rest of the crew, we're very lucky, so thank you.
Well, thank you.
This is the Casey Smith Show wrapping up on SB Nation Radio nationally. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. Go check us out on social media. We are a radio show, but we take comments and questions online. And that's yes. what you are a huge part of. So go find us on social media. Casey Smith on Twitter, KAYCE, or Casey Smith TV on Facebook. Thanks to SB Nation Radio, Gridiron Now, iTunes, and Kendra Scott. We yes. will be back on Wednesday. We love Kendra Scott.
I do.
We'll be back on Wednesday with a live show at 3:00 Eastern. Join us. We're going to be talking about the Super Bowl. I'm assuming that's all we're going to be talking about, just like everybody else. So hit us up. We'd love to see you guys. We'll hear from you hopefully on Wednesday. And thanks for hanging out. Stay friendly, my friends. Life's too short to be angry.